house originates from. Verse 39, it says, but if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. The name of? Let's go. The name of? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for First Wednesday where we can come and gather together and just be in your presence, Father, and receive the word that you are giving and in the end of the impartation of your spirit, Father God, that's bringing forth, Lord, an anointing upon us, Father, and lifting our faith so that when we go out, Father, we can walk, Lord, confidently knowing that you are with us, knowing that you are for us, and knowing that if you are for us, then nothing else can be against us, Lord. Speak to us through your scriptures. Speak through me, Father, and may I be just a conduit of your spirit and what you have to say tonight, Father. Lift the faith in this house, Father, and may we see miracles and salvations take place in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Come on, you got a hand clap, and you may be seated. I'm fired up. You all fired up? These scriptures are good. I love this stuff. Let me just start here with the first verse, and then I'll take you where God led me. When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. Now, you're like, man, that's a heavy scripture right there. They wanted to put them to death. Yes, they did. Luckily for us, we can stand for Jesus and ain't no one going to put us to death. We don't live in that type of place. That's not our culture. Although, it doesn't mean it doesn't happen around this world like that. Or I guess it can happen here if there was somebody a little bit more radical who was just didn't care and just wanted to do that. But we have the freedom and liberality to speak the name of Jesus and stand for him. Back then, they didn't have that liberality. This wasn't something that they could do or had permission to do or had the freedom to do. They were just acting out on what the Holy Spirit was leading them, what took place, and they were acting on what God had prepared and what Jesus had prepared them for, which is ultimately to build the church. This was, remember, Peter and the apostles. They're the ones, the founders of the early church. The Holy Spirit came, they dispersed, and the church was taking place and was happening, and they were building. And they were taking a stand. I'll let you know, whenever you take a stand for something, you always come against opposition that's standing against it, whatever it may be. That's not just Bible, because all of you, I'm sure you've taken a stand for your faith before and your beliefs and stuff, and you've felt the opposition. This is not just a Bible thing. This is not just a Christian thing. This is an anything thing. It's a life thing. It could be a Jesus thing. Come on, NFL's back. It could be an NFL sports team thing. You Raider fans are take a stand. Cowboy fans out there, y'all take a stand. You got some stands. I take a stand on my 49ers. Come on, me too. So I understand that. We understand that it could be anything. It could be even on politics. You take a stand on politics and you're going to face the opposition from whatever side that you're standing on or whatever place on the scale you're standing on, you're going to take a stand. No matter what, there's always going to be a stand against you when you take a stand. But it's important that we as believers know that we do need to take a stand, especially on the gospel. It's not something that we can avoid. It's not something that you can avoid in life either, because there's going to be a certain moment or time that you're going to have to stand for something. But if you're not standing for something, then you're just going to be swayed by the wind. Some of you take stand for your family. Some of you take stands for friends. And some stances are good. Some stances are like, maybe you shouldn't have been standing for that friend. Come on, somebody. Maybe you shouldn't be defending that person because that person is bringing you down and everybody else down with it. But ultimately, there's a stand that needs to be taken in life in many things. There can be many reasons of why you take a stand, but whenever you take one, there's always going to be some tension to it. Have any of y'all have felt some tension behind the stands that you take? Come on, somebody. Don't leave me hanging up here with just my hand raised. How many of you taking some tension for the beliefs that you have in this word? Come on, somebody. Because it happens. It happens with family. It happens with friends. It happens at work. It happens wherever you go. It happens with just maybe somebody, maybe you have a sticker on your car and somebody's mad because you don't like a sticker and they're flipping you off in traffic or something. I don't know. A sticker is a stand. Alexander Hamilton said this, those who stand for nothing fall for anything. So as believers, we should be taking a stand on the gospel, because if we don't, then we'll fall for the very things that we shouldn't be falling for. Everything that God wants to lead us on, everything in our faith journey, every step that we take, there is a stance that's needed so that we can take those steps. If not, we will fall when we get out of here this Wednesday night, when we get out of the church doors on Sunday. You'll go back to work. You'll start joking around again with the inappropriate jokes that you're making. You'll start cussing up a storm and with the in ways that you shouldn't be cussing up or cussing at all. And you'll be saying things at home and calling your kids certain things you shouldn't be calling them. You'll be going back to the bar and drinking where you shouldn't be drinking, because you know it leads to getting drunk and you sinning. You'll be doing all these things and hanging out even as a single person and hanging out with that one person you shouldn't be hanging out with, but you like hanging out with them, but it always leads to something and leads to maybe even sex. You need to be taking a stand as believers, because if not, you'll fall for anything. It's important that we as believers stand on the Word of God, because the stance on the Word of God directs our life. When you don't take a stand on the gospel, you won't know how to live holy and pure before God. When you don't take a stand on the gospel, you won't know how to live holy and pure before God. And that's just lifestyle. How many of you in here are like, man, I want to walk in purpose and I want to walk in calling? It's many of you, right? I've had many conversations. I'm just trying to figure out what God is calling me to. You'll never be able to figure out your purpose or calling if you don't stand on the gospel. You need to stand on the gospel. If you want to actually walk out in the purpose that God created you for, in the calling that he has for you, then you need to stand on the gospel. I'm going to tell you why. This is very important. The gospel, the word of God. Come on, how many believe the word of God is the word of God right here? Let's go. We have it. We stand on it. We believe in the verbal, plenary, authoritative word of God. And that is it right there. How many of you, let me ask you this question. How many of y'all want to know God's voice? How many of you want to hear God speak? How many of you want to know his whisper? How many of you want to know his voice in the midst of all the other voices that are going on in life? Well, the key to knowing the voice of God comes through your stance on the Word of God. So if you have no stance on the Word of God, then you will never understand clearly the voice of God. You just won't. As much as you're, Lord, I want to know your voice. I want to hear your voice. The number one way that you hear his voice, that you know his voice, is through the Word. Y'all want to understand his Word? You got to get in his Word. Y'all want to understand your purpose and calling? You got to get in his Word. This is the master key. It's like a decoder. Like, I want to know God's Word. I want to know his voice in my life. I want to understand how he speaks to me. Well, the Word of God is the decoder to his voice in your life. And if you're not in this, then you're never going to know how to decode the whisper of God, the voice of God, the unction of the Holy Spirit in your life, and where it's directing you and leading you. You won't know. But it all starts with you taking a stand, because if you have no stance on the Word, then why are you going to even value the Word in your life? So it all starts here. It all starts there. We all need to be standing on that. God's Word is your key to understanding his voice in your life. Let me read you the scripture. It comes out of Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Come on, somebody. This is about taking a stand. Stand. And I want you to notice here that the storm was there for both the person who took a stand and on the rock and the person who didn't take a stand. No matter what you're going through in life, the storms are going to come. But if you take a stance on the Word, come on, somebody, then you will be founded on the rock and you won't be swayed by the storm that comes your way. But if you don't have a stance on the rock, the word, then when the storms of life come, then you will be swayed by every single storm that comes in your life, and you will be pushed back to the left, to the right, and whichever way you want to go, and you're not going to be left standing on anything because you'll be falling for everything. Believers need to take a stand. Somebody say, I need to take a stand. We need to take a stand on his word. We need to take a stand on the gospel. We need to take a stand. No matter what, life is going to be filled with us taking a stand. We're always going to have the tension of it. You're not going to have less tension or less friction if you don't stand up for your beliefs. Regardless, remember what I said, that the storm was there for those that took a stand and those that didn't take a stand. You're going to have the storms of life come your way. But it's when you stand on the rock, when you stand on that firm foundation, that you'll be able to withstand whatever storm that comes your way. When you take a stand, and I love this here because it likened it to being a wise man when you take a stand. So when you take a stand on God's word, you will always be walking in wisdom. Come on, somebody. Or let me say it like this. When you take a stand on God's word, you'll always be standing on wisdom. Can I get an amen? Always be standing on wisdom. So let me ask you a question. Don't answer it out loud. All right, well, this one you can. Are you taking a stand for Jesus? Come on, the word. Come on, everybody's going to say yes to that. Holistically, when we say, are we taking a stand for Jesus? Yeah, come on, somebody. Heck yeah, I stand for Jesus. Holistically, I believe everybody says yes to that. But the hardest places to take a stand for Jesus and the word are in the details of life. And it's when you look at the places that you really don't want to deal with, because you know, it's even though it's small, it's hard to deal with. Even though it's something that you've dealt with for so long, like, I've dealt with this, so I'm comfortable with this, I don't want to mess that up, I'll just leave it as it is. Those are the details of life I'm talking about. Like the details of your single life. Come on, somebody. Are you dealing with the details of your single life and how you're pursuing God in your single life, how you're staying pure in your single life, and how you're hanging around the right people in your single life? Or the details of how you treat people when you manage them at work, because there's many managers in here. How do you treat them? Are you just treating them just like employees? Well, let me tell you something. You're more than just let me tell you this. You are a believer. You are a Christ follower. You are there to set an example and manage them in a godly way and give them value for who they are, because they are a child of God. So how are you managing them in the details of your management? How are you doing that? How are you taking a stand at home? How are the details of how you maybe pray before dinner or pray at other times or what have you, or stand and say, this house shall serve God? Are you taking the stand in the details of your home? Or are you just saying, you know what, we'll just throw on that movie, or we'll throw on that Netflix, we'll throw on that music that we've been growing up with because, you know, we're used to it. The music, and you know, I don't like getting religious with this because everybody has their own convictions, but there's just some music that no matter what, like, you should be convicted by it just because it's that. I'm going to be honest. It's just, if you're not in some form or way at least second guessing, should I listen to this? Then you need to reevaluate the stance that you have in that. I love you guys. I'm not trying to beat you up, but I'm trying to challenge you to look at the details of your life so that you can grow out of some of the things. It's the details of life that when you put a stance, when you take a stand on the gospel, and in those details, you will see a breakthrough. It's the big thing is easy. Saying yes to Jesus is easy. Coming to church on Sundays and Wednesdays, that's easy. But when you walk out your Christian life in the details, that's where it becomes difficult. But it's in the details that you see the breakthrough. Running, and I love running. It's one of my hobbies. And you're like, a hobby? I run a couple times, 2 to 3 times a week right now. But I'm not really training for anything. But I do know when I was training for something and I was getting faster and faster, the harder it got to get faster was when I was running. When I first started running, I was my mile time, I believe, I was like 8.5 or 9 or something. But when I got down to like 5.5, that's when it got harder. And it was the details of things that I had to do to get faster and faster. The big things, the big chunks, like, it's like losing weight. Like, you can lose a big amount, but then it's the last few pounds. It's the details, though, that take you to get those last few pounds. And for many of you, it's the details that when you take a stance, put that in the middle of your lifestyle and what you're doing, that you will see the breakthrough that you've been waiting for, that you've been praying for, that you've been seeking, that you've been asking God for. It's the details. So how are you taking a stand in your life? Are you taking a stand in how you act and how you behave? How are you taking a stand in how you talk and speak? How are you taking a stand with your money and your generosity? It's the detail of life that we take a stand on in the gospel that allow us to see the breakthrough that we're looking for. I'll be bold enough to even say that where you are not taking a stand for Christ in your life is probably the place where you need it the most to see that breakthrough or to see God's best for your life. I can't force you to take those steps. I can't force you to say, hey, let me just push you in that direction. I will strongly encourage you in a healthy way, in a pastoral way, because I want to see breakthrough for your life. But at the end of the day, you're the one that's going to have to be the judge of how you are taking a stand in the very little things in life so that you can see that breakthrough. Taking a stand, you're going to find opposition. Taking a stand is what's going to get you to that breakthrough. Taking a stand is what's going to take you to that next level. This is the reason why you got to take a stand too. The Bible says this. Let me read this. Colossians 1:17. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. All things hold together. So you may see some things and areas in your life that are not being held together. It's probably because you don't have a full stand on what the gospel says about what you're doing. And that it sounds strong, and it may be strong, and maybe it's not that at all. But generally, a lot of the times, that's what that is. You put God in the middle of that, and he's going to hold it all together no matter what it is. No matter what it is. Can I get an amen? Amen. Taking a stand for Jesus will always bring about an intimidation or opposition from the enemy, but he'll always hold things together when you feel things are out of control. Peter's and the apostles, you got to imagine what they were feeling. It's not like they knew. Everything was being written right here. We read what Luke wrote, but if I'm Peter and I'm one of the apostles, like, oh man, we're taking a stand and they're saying they're going to kill us. Like, what's going to happen? Like, I don't know if I want to take this stand anymore. I'm second guessing myself. Have you ever second guessed yourself? Well, then you're in good company, because the Bible speaks of Peter and the apostles. They're human beings filled with the Holy Spirit. So if they're human beings, then they're going through the same emotional things that we go through. And just as we second guess ourselves or we doubt ourselves, they felt those things as well. But we get the beauty of the scriptures and you get to read how it worked out for them. Like, man, if God can come through for them, then he can most certainly come through for us. Because why am I any different than Peter, an apostle? I love the church. I'm trying to build the church. I serve. I'm in Connect Groups. I'm doing all these things. And I want to see God move in my life and in my family as well. You are no different, God, than Peter and the apostles, other than the fact that they were Peter and the apostles that started the church. But you are still building the church, and God, and you are building your house, and God wants to build your house as well. God wants to move through you just like he moved through them. So don't separate yourself like, oh, that's them. Like, yeah, that's them, but this is you, and God wants to move through you as well, just like he did for them. When you take a stance for Jesus, when you take a stance for Jesus, you will realize he has always been taking a stance for you. Doesn't seem that way sometimes, but when you take that stand, you will see, oh man, just like he came through for Peter and Apostle and he stood for them, he's always been trying to stand for you, or not trying, he's always been standing for you, but it's just a matter of you taking a stand for him, for you to see that, for you to see that. All right, let's move on to the next scriptures, because I took a while on that, but Acts 5:34 through 38, and I'm just going to summarize. I'm not going to read that whole thing, because I'm just going to summarize this. Gamaliel, in the next verses, we see a man by the name of Gamaliel arise. He is a Pharisee himself that had a lot of influence, and he stands up for the apostles. At this time, we don't see anywhere in the gospel or anywhere in the scriptures that Gamaliel knew them. He was just a person that the Holy Spirit directed him, and he stood for them. And God will use people to stand for you. He will. He'll make a way. You may not know, but he will make a way for you. He was a Pharisee himself too. He was a part of the Sanhedrin, but he stood for them. He talked to them. And not only that, as he's taking a stand for them, he's also making a stand for himself, because what he's putting on the line is his reputation. His reputation with the other church leaders, because of his reputation, his testimony, and his life, they listened to him. So Peter and apostles are taking a stand. Now Gamaliel, who doesn't know them, but he's there to give wisdom, and under the wisdom that was given to him by God, the Holy Spirit, and he shares it, like, just leave him be, because if it's of man, it's of man. If it's not, it's of God, and we don't want to be fighting against God. Whatever the reason was, he still took a stand, just like they were taking a stand, and he put his reputation and testimony on the line. And the lesson here that I want us to learn from Gamaliel is very important, because it's our reputation and our testimony that will allow others to hear the very things that we want to say. If we have a messed up reputation or messed up testimony, and I'm not talking about the testimony that God brought you out of, but I'm talking about the testimony of how you live, it's very difficult to share with people about how they should live when your testimony is all messed up. Gamaliel had influence because he had a great reputation, a great testimony. And he had quality behind his reputation and his testimony. The quality of the way you live your life will create space for people to listen to the quality of what you say. Let me say that again. The quality of the way you live your life will create space for people to listen to the quality of what you say. And many of you, I know what you're saying. You say, hey, man, you guys got to check out Freedom House Church, because this is what God did for me. But if you're not, the quality of your life and how you're living is not matching up to the quality of the message that you're giving, then it's going to be very difficult for trying to get family members or friends or people to church or to Jesus. They have to match up. They have to match up. We have to be a people of good reputation and of good testimony. It can't just be like, come to church, hey, brother, how you doing? Blessed and highly favored. That's your testimony when you get in here. But when you leave, you're out there, out the door in traffic, and you're the one flipping people off. Come on, somebody. Why are you laughing? Y'all relate? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Proverbs 22:1, it says, choose a good reputation over great riches. Being held in high esteem is better than silver or gold. That's Proverbs. That's wisdom. When your testimony is good, people will speak up and testify about you as well. 1 Peter 2:12, keep your behavior excellent among the unsaved Gentiles. Conduct yourself honorably with graciousness and integrity, so that for whatever reason they may slander you as evildoers, yet by observing your good deeds, they may instead come to glorify the God in the day of visitation, when he looks upon them with mercy, with mercy. Reputation, testimony. Amongst those that don't know Jesus, how we live should be the loudest preacher than the words we speak. That's what that scripture is telling us. When your testimony is good, people will testify of the God you serve. They will testify. They were literally like, oh, no, yeah, that person, he's good. Oh, yeah, he follows God. They will say things. Before I was on staff with Freedom House Church, I was in Southern California Gas Company, and people would literally stand up for me once they knew how I was living. When I gave my life back to Christ and I started living a certain way, they would stand up for me against others who wouldn't, others who opposed me. People will stand up for you. Acts 13:22. After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him. I found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. When your testimony is good, God will testify about you. So when you have a great testimony, it opens the door for people to stand for you, for people to listen to you as a believer, to witness to them, but also for God to testify about you. David was a man after God's own heart, and God testified about him because of his testimony. Now, of course, he was not without sin, but his heart was after God, and he always came to God and repented and turned away from his ways. He didn't go back to his ways. God testified about him. When your testimony is good, God will testify about you. Let's move on. Acts 5:39. I love this because Gamaliel goes on to say, but if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourself fighting against God. I mean, Gamaliel was helping these guys out, the Sanhedrin, that is. He was not only standing for Peter, he was standing for himself, he's got his reputation online, but he's also helping them out. Like, you know what, you guys, if you go this route, you fight against God, man, you do not want to be fighting against God. You do not want to be fighting against God, because God is God. And he, there's nothing greater than God. There's no power greater than God. There's nothing above God. There's nothing higher than God. God is supreme. Can I get an amen? He is King. He is Lord. He is Savior. He's above all, and everything else is beneath. Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Meaning that when God is on your side, or there is nothing that can come against and nothing that can take him out, God is with you. And if God is with you, if nothing can take him out, nothing can take you out. Isaiah 55:1 says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God always sends his word out so that it accomplishes something. And Gamaliel was teaching these guys, this Sanhedrin, like he's accomplishing something. If this is God, it's going to happen. If it's not God, it's not going to happen. But if it's God, it's going to happen. Come on, somebody. And he's telling them that. And I'm here to tell you, Freedom House, man, if it's God, it's going to happen. If it's not God, it's not going to happen. And I say that to you because many of you have gotten words. And let me encourage you with this right now. Many of you have gotten words. Many of you have been prophesied over. And many of you have been believing God's giving you a dream and a vision. He's given it to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's things that have been spoken over you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you not to give up hope or lose faith on that. Because if he sent it out, it's because he sent it out with a plan and a purpose for you. He sent it out with a plan and a purpose for you. He has not forgotten about you. He's not put you to the back of the list. He's got you at the front, and he's believing his best for your life. And whatever it is that you have received, whatever it is the word has given, whatever it is that the man of God has preached to you or spoken to you or laid hands on top of you, you best believe that it's gone forth and it's not going to return void. The breakthrough you've been believing for, the miracle you've been asking for, the healing that you've been waiting for, it's coming. It's coming, because when God releases, come on somebody, you better believe it's for someone to receive. And that someone is you. Gamaliel was telling him, if it's God sent it, it's true, it's word, it's gonna happen, it's gonna happen, it's gonna happen. So let's not get in the way of it, because if we do, then we'll just be coming against God, and there's nothing that we can do to stop it. There's nothing that we can do to stop the word of God, nothing that we can do to stop what God has spoken over us. There's nothing that we can do to stop the word. The best thing that we can do as believers is to get in the flow of what God is doing and allow him just to take us with him. Say, Lord, this is what you're doing at Freedom House. We're jumping in. We're not going to fight it, because if we try to, we'll just end up divinely frustrated. Lord, if what you're doing is taking us into Anaheim, well, then we're diving in, because your word has gone out and it's not going to return void, because there's still so much work for you to do here at Freedom House. So if this is what God is doing, then this is what we're doing. We're jumping in. We're not coming against it. No, we're going with it. And we're honoring God along the way. And we're believing God along the way. And we're giving towards the things of God along the way. Acts 5:40-41. It says, his speech, Gamaliel's speech, he's persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Again, they're like, all right, Gamaliel, you make perfect sense. But you know what? We're still going to beat them up and tell them not to say anything. That's what happened. They tried to silence them again. You want to know why? Because the enemy is relentless. The enemy is an annoyance. The enemy is always going to try to intimidate, try to accuse you, to keep you silent. The tactic of the enemy, of the devil, does not change. He's trying to keep you from walking in what God has for your life and everything attached to it. Your children, your family, your legacy, your healing, your miracles, your breakthrough, everything about you, your anointing. The enemy is always going to want to come against you when you are standing for Christ. Always. Always. Because he knows what's on you, and sometimes he knows it better than we know. He knows it so much so that he's going to do whatever it takes to stop you. And he'll leverage that and his energy to make sure you don't do what God has called you to do. For many of you, God has risen you up and is rising you up, and he's called you to be a preacher. You're like, what, with a microphone? Maybe not, but maybe to just to preach with your friends. Maybe to speak to the people that you're leading, the people at work. You're like, well, my work days, I can't talk about Jesus. Maybe so, but I've been in a workplace where I can't talk about Jesus, and I still did. Come on, somebody. Maybe he's calling you to lead out a business, a Christian business, and you're like, I don't know, because the enemy is an annoyance, and he's been bothering you and bothering you and bothering you. Maybe the enemy's trying to stop you because God's giving you a dream that's going to change many lives. God's giving you a dream. God's giving you education. Maybe you've gone to school, and God's giving you a vision for the education that you have, because when you use it and when you take the steps that he wants you to take, you're going to affect the change in that industry that he's calling you to make change in. But the enemy, guess what, is going to be there to annoy you and try to hold you down, because that's what he does. And that's what happened here to Peter and the rest of the apostles. John and the apostles, they wanted to flog them, to intimidate them. So they beat them up and they tried to silence them again. But guess what? It didn't work, because we're here. Because we're here. Because we're here. You're here because that didn't work. And you're here because Peter and the apostles worked. So guess what? There's more people that yet to need to be here, because we got to get to work. Because there's a word that's at work within us. But if we don't take a stand, we won't see that work come to fruition. Freedom House, now's not the time to sit back. Now's not the time to just be lackadaisical, walking through the hallways and just saying, I'm just going to go to church to check off the list. Now's the time to rise up and stand to see what God does through us, God does in this land. God does in Fullerton, in Espanol, in Irvine, in Anaheim. Come on, and all those that are yet to come, campuses that are yet to come. But just like as Peter and the apostles work, we got to get to work. We got to stand firm. Where does the work start? The work starts with us standing on the word of God. And then it says here that the apostles left the Sanhedrin after getting beat up and again intimidated, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. The name of who? The name of who? The Bible says, James 1:2, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Yes, consider it joy, but it's not fun. But when it comes, we know it's coming because there's something on us. We know it's coming because there's something that the devil's trying to stop us from doing. But we consider it pure joy because we know we're heading in the right direction. 1 Peter 4:13, but rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Overjoyed when his glory is revealed. This scripture right here, I put it in because it's important. Because we are to take joy, pure joy, whenever we face trials. But why? Because when the glory of God comes, we can be overjoyed. So what is the glory of God? When you get healed, or when you pray for someone to get healed, or you're believing for someone to get healed and they get healed, that's the glory of God. And you may have been suffering some trials because you've been maybe God's been trying to produce that healing through you, or healing in you. When a prodigal son or daughter comes back home to the house of God, that is the glory of God. That is the overjoy that we get. What is this glory? When someone who was depressed and suffering from anxiety and worry and just depression is set free, that's the glory of God. What is his glory? When someone who is addicted finds freedom in Christ and they're no longer bound by addiction, that is the glory of God. Come on, if you've been set free from addiction, give God a praise right now. Come on. What is the glory of God when someone finds joy again after living in anger for too long? They've been living in bitterness for too long, living in offense for too long, and they find that joy. That's the glory of God. How about this? When escrow closes on the 5 acres of land in Anaheim and all the funds are raised to not enclose the gap in escrow, but to pay for all the renovations so that people can come in and give their life to Christ. That's the glory of God. Or how about this? When your family member that you have been praying for responds to the gospel message, they raise their hand, whether it be in church, or maybe they allow you to lead them to Christ personally in the living room. That's the glory of God. Rejoice and be overjoyed, because when you go through these trials and go through these things, there is a joy in the glory of God that's going to come. So let me tell you, Freedom House, if you've been going through some trials, if you've been going through some sufferings, it's because you have been standing, and because there's going to be a greater joy that's yet to come through the glory of God that's yet to be seen in your life. Come on, give God a praise. Come on, I want to invite you to stand on your feet right now. I'm about to end. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. 2 Corinthians 4:17, it says, for our light affliction, somebody say light affliction, is built for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It's working more. So everything that you're doing, it's a light affliction compared to the weight of glory that's yet to come in your life. The weight, glory, come on, translated is kabod, which is weight. There's an actual weight to it. Like you may be feeling the weight of your affliction, right? Like, man, this is heavy, but that's nothing to the weight of glory, because that's gonna be heavy on your life too. And you're like, man, another heaviness? No, but this is a good heaviness, because this heaviness is the glory of God. That's the heaviness you wanna feel. You don't wanna feel the heaviness of your stress and your worry, but you know that what you're going through is so that you can feel the heaviness of God's weight and glory on your life. And you're gonna see it, not only in your joy, not only in your peace, not only in your healing, not only in your miracle, not only in your breakthrough, but you're going to see it on the people around you. You know when the weight of God's glory comes, because it doesn't just affect you, it affects all that are around you. It affects your marriage. Come on, somebody. Like, your marriage is going to be more united, more full of love, more full of joy, more full of peace. You're not going to be arguing as well. It's going to be on your children. Like, man, my children are blessed. They're actually listening to me. They're taking out the trash and doing the dishes. And God is blessing it for them, because they're actually doing good in other areas. And we're seeing it. You're going to see it in your work, because you're going to get supernatural promotion. You're like, man, how did that promotion come? It's because the weight of glory is on your life, because you have been going through what is called a light affliction according to the word of God. You're going to see yourself supernaturally increase, because the weight of glory is on your life. You're going to see an open heaven over your life, because the weight of glory is on your life. So Freedom House, let me speak to you right now. Whatever it is you're going through is a light affliction compared to what's to come. Not because I say so, but because of what God says so. Continue to take a stance and stand on the gospel, stand on the word, stand on the truth, and you will see all these things that he has spoken to you, has released to you, has said about you, has promised to you, come to fruition. Can I get an amen? Come on. Put up your hands, be ready to receive. Father in heaven, I thank you for your people, Lord. Thank you for this night. Lord, you came in and you brought a word, Father. It wasn't my word, it was your word, Father. And you've spoken to our hearts, you've spoken to our minds. Father God, you've spoken to our faith. We leave here now, not with the same faith when we came in, but we leave here with a greater faith, believing you for what your word says, Father God, empowered by your Holy Spirit to stand, Father God, to stand, so that we can stand and be delivered in all areas of our life, Father, because we know you didn't come just to deliver us from some things. You came to deliver us for all things. So, Father, I speak to those that have been taking a stand.
Lord, may you bless them, deliver them, heal them. Whatever it is they're believing for, you bring it to them, Father. As they commit their plans to you, you give them the desires of their heart, Father. And for those in here, Father, that if there's details in my life, then I need to take stand in, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you give them the strength, you give them the wisdom, you give them the strategy to take a stand in those details so that they can see the very breakthrough that they've been praying for, that they've been believing for, they've been asking for, the very breakthrough they've been seeing on other people come to their life. May they stand on your word in the details of their life, Father. And may they stand knowing that whatever it is they're going through, Father, it is a light affliction for the way to glory that's yet to come in their life, Lord. In Jesus' name, come on, give God a shout.